Peggy. We're going to change the words to that song, and we're going to say, make the church great again. Amen. So this is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I also want to welcome my newest listeners on Rapture Ready Radio, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. Give a big shout out to them. We also have a YouTube channel, which I should be updating very soon, and a website, propheticnews.com. Also, my new book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings is out there. It's on Amazon. It's on Lulu. It's on eBay. I even saw somebody selling it on eBay. And it's also on, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Lulu, Books A Million. There's quite a few bookshops I see selling the book. So I'm glad about that. We hope that people can get the message about giving, because when I turn on my television and I look at these preachers, these prosperity preachers, and they love money. They love money. They love it. And all they do is lie. They just lie about God. And we want people to know the truth about God. We want people to know that God is a giver. He's a loving Heavenly Father. And He gives us all things freely when we ask. So we don't have to pay him off. God doesn't accept bribes. No, God doesn't accept bribes. Those are for these greedy preachers and these greedy pastors that they can't live by faith. They can't trust God. And they don't want you to trust God either. So they like to keep you ignorant of the Word of God, but we're all responsible for reading our Bibles and for knowing what the Word of God says so that we're not deceived. Amen. But anyway, I was looking at some YouTube videos yesterday, and I was looking at videos of abandoned buildings, and it kind of reminded me of abandoned churches, of how really Jesus has left the building in many of these places because they're no longer preaching the gospel. It's mostly about the pastor's vision and about building the pastor's little kingdom and building cities and building, now they call church places where people go to church. They call it now a campus. Now, I always thought a campus was a college. You know, when you went to college, you said you had a campus, but now they call church property campuses. Oh, that's interesting. And they tell you that you're learning something over there, but now I'm going to play some audio in a little bit from this pastor, so-called Robert Morris, and he has a few campuses around. I know he has a few, I think, in Texas, but he claims that he's been teaching on giving for 30 years. 30 years he's been teaching, and he still can't get it right. he still doesn't understand Malachi. He tries to give people liberty in giving, but he has to manipulate because he can't let people think for themselves about giving. And then he claims in some of the audio that I'm going to play is that he doesn't want you to give because you want something, and we don't want to breed selfishness and greed in Christians. But yeah, he's telling people in one of his sermons recently that there was a single lady in the church there, and she, or a single mother, And she had to give her 10%, and you know, it's hard for her to give her 10%. And so she made $1,000, and she gave 100 because God told her, look, you give that 100. Now he says God told her, right? He says that this is the way God talks. Our loving Heavenly Father. And this is the guy that claims that he's been teaching on giving for 30 years. So, and he says that you get real good spiritual food over here at this church. So you have to pay money. Otherwise, you can't get fed over there. Well, I don't like your restaurant, Mr. Morris. I don't like the food over there. So anyway, I didn't know that I had to pay for a seat in church. I didn't know that I was required to pay for my seat over there. But anyway, he says, yeah, this single mother, she gave her $100 out of her 10%, and God told her, now God told her, give an extra 20 in there. And she argued with God. She said, oh, God, I can't give an extra 20. I can barely give this 100. And God said, well, you'll see what I will do if you give this extra 20. So, she gives the 20, 120, and then all of a sudden somebody walks up to her. Now, somebody walks right up to her right after that in the church and hands her $120. And she said, and he says, well, you can't tell her that God didn't tell her about giving that money, because, look, she gave that money and she got blessed immediately. Well, I don't know. This man, he speaks with forked tongue, because he says that one side of his mouth, he says, we don't want to teach people to give just to get something back. And we don't want to breed selfishness and greed in the church. But yet he's telling people that she gave her $120 tithe and she got $120 back immediately. Look at that. What do you call that? You call that selfishness and greed, right? That's the only reason you give money is because you get something back? We don't even teach our children to behave like that. Do you think God teaches his children to behave like that? No. Robert Morris, I think you need to go back to Bible college. I think you need to go back to Bible college. But then he says that there's somebody in the church and they have to give their heart for the church, or heartfelt offerings every year. They have to have a special offering that they give, sacrificial offering that they give. And he says, and we have people in this church and they give $100,000. Wow, $100,000. Now, can you imagine if $100,000? Wow. And that's beyond the tithe and offering that these people give. And then he says, we even have some people in here that they can give $1 million. They can give $1 million. And but can you imagine now $100,000 coming from a few people? There's probably some desperate people in that church, and I do mean desperate, that don't even have enough food to eat over there. Maybe they came down with some sickness, and it's hard for them to work. Now, legitimate reasons that people need help, legitimate, not just because they're lazy and they won't work, but legitimate reasons why people need help. He has to have these $100,000 offerings and these $1 million offerings to expand his campuses. He says he's going to expand his campuses. Robert, nobody should be going to that college over there that you claim these campuses you have, because you can't even read Malachi correctly. You can't even read. And then I'll play a quote from him. He quotes Leviticus 27. And now he quotes it. But even when he quotes it, he doesn't want to tell you the truth about Leviticus 27, because you can read. And I challenge anybody, I will give you $1,000 if you can show me one scripture where the tithe was ever money. Just show me one scripture where the tithe was ever money, and I will give you $1,000. Because it's not there. There's no tithing in the Old Testament where it was money. Now, he quotes Leviticus 27, because then he's also quoting Malachi 3, which he doesn't understand either. And he quotes Leviticus 27, and here's what it says, and all the tithe of the land. So what is the tithe of the land? That's your farm goods, right? Your farm goods. Whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And also Robert Morris, he says that you have to bring your tithe to the storehouse, because that's what Malachi says. And he says that, you know, the storehouse is the local church. Now, can somebody please give me a scripture for that? Is there a scripture for that somewhere? This man, he's been studying the Bible for 30 years. He's been studying, and he cannot even come up with one scripture where the tithe was ever money or where tithe was. He can't even tell you that the tithe was always food, and he can't even come up with the truth about the storehouse. Who made that up? Could you please tell me who made that up about the storehouse is the local church? Oh, I don't know. That sounds like some kind of a Ponzi scheme going on over there. Because I don't know. I never heard Jesus say that. Did Jesus ever say that? Did any of the Old Testament prophets, did they ever say that? No, that's something that these pastors, that they make up. And they make it up because it's a good way to get offerings, to tell you it. And they wrap it in a religious ribbon, and they tell you that you have to bring your tithes, your 10% over here, and because this is the storehouse. And then if you don't do it, they tell you, then you're cursed. Oh, I don't think so. Jesus, and I'm going to read some scriptures. God is pretty upset with people lying to people. He doesn't like that, and he doesn't like extortion. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like extortion. That's extortion. When they're telling you that you're going to be cursed if you don't obey us, now that's a form of extortion. Now, here's Jesus. This is the words of Jesus. Okay, Robert Morris, he didn't read these. Matthew 23:23. Woe, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Now, notice here that Jesus did not say, you bring money over here. He even himself said it was food. And he's talking about herbs here. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them may be clean also. Now, those are the words of Jesus. Now, I think Jesus knows a little bit more than Robert Morris. And I think so. I think he knows a little bit more. And also, here are the words of Jesus again. Matthew 22, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's it. That's it. It's all about love. It's not about bringing 10% over there to the so-called storehouse, otherwise you're cursed with the curse. It's about loving people enough to give out of your heart. That's what it's all about there, Robert. Robert, you can call me. Call me. You can call me. You can actually even call into this program if you want. Let's talk. I invite you, Robert, to come onto my program. You can call in, and also if anybody else wants to call in today, it's 914-338-1638. Robert, come on, let's talk. Let's talk, Robert. 914-338-1638. Also, Robert Morris, he likes to brag about all the money he gives away, all the things he's given away. And but let me tell you something. I've seen people do this, and they wound up with nothing, and it took them years to even recover. I had two friends that they gave everything they had away because At the Bible college they were at, they were bringing in these prosperity preachers, and the prosperity preachers were telling them to give everything away. And so there was a couple there, and they had a nice little nest egg that they worked for all their life. And these prosperity preachers, they came and they told them to give it all away. Or, you know, they were giving their testimonies about how they gave everything away. And then, you know, they got so much back in return. Well, you better make sure that if you're hearing voices telling you to give everything away, you better make sure it's God. And for the most part, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that people with children and families and married couples that need a roof over their head and a car to drive and they need money in the bank to pay their bills, I don't think God's going to tell them to give everything away to some ministry. I don't think so. I don't think God is going to leave you homeless and without enough money to buy groceries and to put gas in your car and then to not even have a car. No, I don't think God's going to tell you to do that. So that's what some preacher is going to tell you to do because they want your money. They want your money. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to that. But anyway, this couple, they gave everything away. I mean, everything. They were living in their car. Okay. they were living in their car. And I don't know whatever happened to them. Who knows what happened? God only knows what happened after that. You can imagine that what happened to their marriage, what happened to their relationship with the Lord when they didn't get their hundredfold return immediately, and they had to go through some suffering, some real suffering because of their stupidity, because they thought, wow, if I give all this away, I'm gonna get so much more back. I don't think so. Anyway, and also then there was a family that I knew in England. Now, this was a husband and a wife, and they had three children. And they had a house. And Morris Cirillo came to town, and they fell in love with Morris Cirillo. And Morris Cirillo was telling them to give give things away and to sow seeds into his ministry, and how God was going to bless them and bless their faith and their sacrificial giving. Meanwhile, Morris wasn't sacrificing. No, not Morris. No, Morris, he bought himself like a, I don't know, $20 million, $30 million jet to fly around in. And he bought himself a big mansion. Morris wasn't sacrificing. No, he, not him, no. But he wants you to sacrifice. He wants you to sacrifice. So anyway, Morris blew through town, and this man, he gave his house to Morris. He gave, this is a man with a wife and three children. Now, what ministry? I wouldn't even take the man's house. Even if he gave it to me, I wouldn't take it. I would say, no, no, thank you. You keep it, okay? You need it for your wife and your children. God will take care of me. No. No, Morris, he took it. Yeah, Morris took it. So what happened to the family? They wound up living, they went from owning a home, and they were living in a studio apartment. Now, you know what a studio apartment is? It's one room. One room. A husband, a wife, and three kids. And then when I saw them later, they had managed to get up enough money to rent a house. And they were renting a house, and they were always hurting for money. Now, this was a few years after they gave their house to Morris Cirillo. They were still hurting for money. So what did Jesus say in that scripture I just read to you? They're full of extortion and excess. Extortion and excess. So, no, God doesn't require. Yes, God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to be generous. But God also looks at your heart. He looks at your motive, and he looks at these people's motives. The other night, now I was up late one night, and I'm looking at so-called Christian television, and I'm looking at the Word Network, or the Unword Network, as I call it, and here comes this young couple on there. Oh, they looked about 30 years old, man and wife. Oh, slick. They were slick, these two, so. He's telling the people, I've got this anointed oil, and you write in. Now, the reason they want you to write in for the oil is because they want your address, because once they get your address, then they can send you appeal letters. So anyway, they tell the people, you must send in for this anointed oil, because we have prayed over it, we have blessed it. And when you get this oil, you put it on this prayer cloth that we're going to send you. And then whatever you need from God, he's going to give it to you. And we guarantee miracles. We guarantee miracles. Wow. They guarantee miracles. Yeah, sure. And then they start telling you about all the miracles in their services, how people, this paralyzed guy came up and they put the anointed prayer cloth on him with the oil, the very special oil, and oh, he wasn't paralyzed anymore. And then you have to send in money, though. You have to send in a little seed faith gift, otherwise it doesn't work. Okay, no, it doesn't work if you don't send a little seed faith gift. So they get you to send in for the oil, which people are still doing because the guy's on television. It's expensive to be on television. It's not cheap. So the guy's on television, and him and his wife, this young couple, they figured out, wow, this is a good gig. We don't have to work. We just get on here, and we tell those dopes out there to send us money. And we send them this oil, Pompeii olive oil that we got over at Winn-Dixie for $3 a bottle. We send them a little vial of this oil, and we get thousands of dollars in return. And they're just giddy with their extortion and excess. And so then they get you to send in for the oil, which when you send for the oil, they return to you the anointed prayer cloth, which they with the vial of oil. So they get your address, and then they send you that, and then they continue to pick your pocket And now, can anybody out there, my listeners out there, can you understand, and I know we can't because we know better, but can you understand how in the world people are still paying for miracles? We're coming into the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation in 2017. And, of course, Martin Luther protested the Catholic Church selling miracles at the time, selling time out of purgatory, which they still do. You can still buy a mass for people that are in purgatory. Now, recently I received two mass cards from people, and I'm like, why are you sending me these mass cards? I do not want mass cards. Don't bother. And if you have any Catholic relatives and somebody in your family passes away, please tell them, do not waste your money on mass cards. If you want to do something for somebody that somebody passes away, buy them a gift card for a dinner out, send some flowers, do something to make the person happy. But to waste money on mass cards, please stop. And I didn't tell these two people, please don't send mass cards. I did tell other people because most people in my family are Catholic. And I tell them, please do not send mass cards. I do not want any money wasted. The Catholic Church has trillions of dollars. They don't need any more money on mass cards. Ugh, please. So anyway, can you believe that in the year 2016 and soon to be 2017 that people are still buying miracles? No, it is hard to believe, isn't it? But turn on any so-called Christian station and that's all you see is people hawking miracles for seed faith gifts. I can't believe that it's still going on the way it is. But anyway, I'm going to play some of these audio clips in a few minutes, but I wanted to mention also, now they've been making a big deal now, have you noticed, this week about fake news. Hillary Clinton gets up this week and she's talking about how fake news has hurt people. I mean, talk about somebody that was putting out fake news. Come on, Hillary, come on, please. And they're also, now they're still trying to blame the Russians. It was it was the Russians hacking into hack into the American elections and trying to make the outcome come out in the way the Russians wanted it to come out. Will you stop, please? Stop it already. I can't stand it. The propaganda is so thick. And one of the reasons, and we see that we're going to probably see more of this even with broadcasts like mine and other independent ministries that don't care if you send tithes and offerings. You know, we don't try to manipulate people to do things. We preach the gospel, and God's perfectly capable of speaking to people if he so chooses. So anyway, these other so-called ministries that tell you to send seed faith gifts and tithes and all that, they don't like ministries like mine and Jackie Allenor's and the Wolf Tracker and other people out there that tell you you don't have to sow seeds. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to do all that. You just give from your heart. You give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. You don't give grudgingly and not out of necessity. We don't give because we have to give because we need something. That's what the Bible says. So, but that's going to happen more and more to us where people aren't going to like what we're saying, and they're going to try to come against us to stop us from having a voice. And it's the same thing with the people with the fake news. They're saying that they want to shut down these independent news sources like Breitbart News and the Gateway Pundit and the Drudge Report and people that offer the news, but it's not ABC and NBC and CNN and Fox News. It's not the so-called legitimate news outlets who they don't report the news accurately either. If you're going to take the time to pay reporters and people go to college and they earn degrees in journalism, then at least report the news accurately. Please do your research and report the news accurately. Don't lie to people and don't make things up when you don't even know what you're talking about. So we expect to see the same kind of thing with our ministries where because we're having an effect. We are having an effect on these bigger so-called ministries because giving is down. Giving is down. And because people are catching on that you don't, these people live lavishly and they keep telling you, especially these television networks, which they can earn enough money selling airtime. They don't need any offerings. TBN makes $50 million a year selling airtime. So what do they need any offerings for? Please stop. Cut it out. I mean, really. $50 million isn't enough for you to run your network? Oh, please. You know, when Jan and Paul Crouch died, and you can go and look yourself on the internet, you can, both of their mansions were for sale. And in California, they had many other mansions around the country, and they didn't live together. Now, this was something that came.
I'm paying the bills, you know, I've done God's part, and my son comes in and he sees it. He said, Dad, he sees the amount, you know, a tithe check to a kid looks like a gazillion dollars, you know. He said, Dad, why are you giving so much to the church? And I remember that scripture. And I picked him up and I put him on my lap. And I said, son, I need to tell you something about Dad that you don't know. But Daddy wasn't always a Christian. As a matter of fact, Daddy was a very, very, very bad person. And Daddy was in a lot of bondage. But God, with a mighty hand. Unfortunately, a lot of people say that they when they preach on giving, they're actually preaching on getting. Most of the time, when we hear Luke 6:38, we think about money. As a matter of fact, when we think about the word give, we think money. When God says give, it shall be given to you. If you back up just a little bit, Luke 6 there, he says, give to everyone who asks of you. And if he needs your coat, give him your shirt too. And if you loan him the money, don't even ask him to pay you back. He's talking about an attitude of the heart. I can't preach on grace and not talk about giving because God so loved the world, I can't preach on marriage and not preach on giving because a marriage will not work if you're not givers, if both people aren't givers. And again, not finances, not giving. You understand what I'm saying? This applies to every area of our life. That's what we have to understand. Giving is about the heart. Then, when you come, then where it says giving, it should be given to you, I think he's following it up there to say, if you give like this, if you give with a pure heart, then I'm going to reward you for that. And so, but so many times pastors seem to preach, give and you'll get, give and you'll get. And so someone in the congregation thinks, well, I want to get, and so they give. It's all about the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Some people say, well, you know, they're after my money. Let me explain something to you. Yes, God is after you, not the church. God is after your money because he's after your heart. And your heart is connected to your wallet. See, it's not the revelation of giving, and that's what your father heard that so touched his life. He heard me share my life message, and it's give. And when we give with the right heart, God does reward us.
Anyway, that's a couple of kooky quotes from Robert Morris, and let's listen to one more.
The Holy Spirit on it, like last weekend, and say, wow, I've never seen it that way. Okay. I believe one of the reasons that we have such great food in Gateway Church is because we have a lot of tithers. He says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Storehouse always refers to the local church, that there may be food in my house. And let me say another way, that I may bless you. It's another opportunity for me to bless you. And he says this, and trying on this, the word try means prove, the way you would prove metal, test it, and test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. In other words, you'll be able to give more. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Those three words helped convince me that this is what God was saying, because he was saying, you robbed me, and he's not saying that he's hurting and he's running out of gold for his streets in heaven. He's saying, you're robbing me of a blessing, and he says this, I approve it, I will rebuke the devourer. He doesn't say for the kingdom's sake, he says for your sake. That's a blessing. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. The vine would represent your business, whatever business you're in, it won't fail to bear that fruit. Says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Another way to say it, according to what I'm saying, is because you gave me opportunities to bless you. Years ago, when I was learning about giving, you know, Debbie and I started learning about giving in probably my early 20s. I got saved at 19. And we began to give extravagantly, and I found great joy in giving. And I wasn't giving to get, I was just giving to help. But the more I gave, the more God gave me, so that I could give more. And I've told you this before, Debbie and I came to a place where we were giving 70% of our income to the kingdom. So we were just giving, giving, giving. So we were in a life group. I was not a pastor, I wasn't an associate pastor, I was not an evangelist. I was not in ministry, vocational ministry. Not in vocational ministry at all. In a life group. And one of the couples talked about they were about to go on a mission trip, short-term mission trip, and they said, we just want everyone to pray. Well, I get such joy in giving, so I said, do you have all the finances that you need for the short-term mission trip? They said, well, we're a little short, if y'all could pray about that too. So I said, well, how short are you? How much do you need? And they said, $800. So I knew immediately, I'll take care of that, you know? So afterwards, I went out to the car, got my checkbook, wrote a check for $800, and they came out, we stood and talked for a while, and I gave them the check. I got in the car, and this is what I felt like the Lord said to me, okay? I felt like the Lord said to me, I am so mad at you right now, I could spit. And it wasn't the good kind of spit that heals your eyes. It was the spit you out of my mouth type of spit, you know? And I was shocked. I said, God, what do you mean? Couple me $800? Gave me $800. What's your deal? You know what he said to me? And this is what he reminded me of this week. This week, I never shared about Malachi 3 like I'm sharing this week. Never shared this before. Here's what he said to me. Years ago when I gave that couple that money, he said, you robbed me of an opportunity to bless the other couples in the group. He said, I had it all planned out. I was going to speak to you, and you were actually going to give half of it, $400. One couple was going to give $50, and that would have been a sacrifice for them. One couple was going to give $100. One couple was going to give $200 or $100, whatever it was. I don't remember the amounts now. But he said, I had it all planned out. And he said, I had it all planned out how I was going to bless them. And you robbed me of the opportunity to bless them. And I didn't even relate it to Malachi 3. But what I realized from that moment on was that I don't give just because I have the resources. I give when God speaks. And I give what God speaks. So, there are three opportunities of blessing that I see in Scripture. All right? Three categories of opportunities. So here's the first one, tithes. I believe that when we tithe, we give God the opportunity to bless us. Joshua 6, we'll get to Mark 12 in a moment. Joshua 6 is when they're going into the promised land, and it's the first city, and it's Jericho. In verses 18 and 19, it says, and you by all means.
Anyway, that's the illustrious pastor Robert Morris, who's been studying for 30 years on the topic of giving. But he says that we have to give God an opportunity to bless us. Well, my Bible says that if I need anything from God, I ask. And the Bible says that if I ask and I ask for something and I don't ask amiss and I don't ask out of the lust of my heart, that God will give me all things freely for the asking. He didn't say that I have to have these three special opportunities. I have to give God an opportunity. Now imagine, I have to give God an opportunity to bless me. That's Robert Morris. He's been studying for 30 years, but anyway, he didn't read his Bible. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Amen to that, right? But if you look at, here's another one, Jeremiah, and this is also for Robert Morris, Jeremiah 12:10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. And that's a scripture there for Robert, because you're not telling people the truth. You have to go back and you have to read the whole chapter of Malachi. And he quotes Malachi, and he says that, and this is a favorite scripture of many pastors. You probably hear it every Sunday at church. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now, what God was talking about there was, if you read the whole chapter of Malachi and you start at chapter 1, they were bringing in the blind animals, and they were bringing in the worst, they weren't bringing in the best things there to the storehouse, which the storehouse was a place where they actually stored food. It wasn't a place where they brought money and they piled money high and then the Levites and the priests went out and bought themselves mansions and jet planes and campuses. No, that wasn't the way it was. It was a place where they store food. And God specifically says that there may be meat in mine house, which is food. He doesn't say that there would be money in my house. That Robert Morris, he put that in there. He writes his own Bible. And it says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, which is your plants. It's your plants. And opening the windows of heaven means rain, means that I will rain on your plants, and your plants will grow. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. It doesn't say in the local church. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say in the offering plate. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say about the pastor's vision. No, it doesn't say. It says none of that. It says, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. saith the Lord of hosts. So they take Malachi and they put their own words in there. They just make things up, and they tell you that they're brilliant. And Robert Morris, he even brags about the fact that they get good food over there at that church. It's worth coming over there and paying for your seat there on Sunday, because he says that they give you meat. He says is you have to come to church to eat. And but I'm a grown woman, Robert. I'm a grown woman. I can feed myself. I don't need you to feed me. I'm not a baby. So I'm coming over. If I want to come over to your church, I'm coming for fellowship. Yes, I do like good Bible teaching. I like good Bible teaching. And if I'm going to get up and get dressed on Sunday and put on my makeup and comb my hair and get in my car and drive over there, I expect to get good Bible teaching. That's what I'm coming out for. I don't want this mess that you're giving over there, Robert. I expect that you spent time studying your Bible before I come over there, and that at least if you've been studying for 30 years, you have figured out Malachi. That would be a big point for me, is that if I was going to come there and I was going to pay for my seat and you were feeding me, like you say, you have to feed me. I can feed myself, though, because I'm a grown woman and I don't need milk anymore. I can take the meat. So thank you, Robert, but I don't need to pay you to feed me because I'm a grown woman. So if I wanted to come over there and I wanted to donate to your church for the support of your church willingly because I liked your church and I would do that, but I wouldn't want to come over there for arm twisting and telling me that I'm cursed if I don't do these certain things for you, and because you're the man of God and this is the storehouse. And just don't lie to people. Just tell people the truth. Anyway, if anybody knows Robert, tell him to call. He can call. He can call in here. We will take his call. We'll be very glad to talk with him. You can make him aware of this broadcast. We're putting out a challenge to Robert Morris. Robert, we know you're trying. I think that, you know, the fact that you put a couple things out on TBN recently, you and Matt and Lori and you and your wife, Robert, you sat there and you were offering a CD series on giving, and you were telling, yes, we don't give because, and Matt Crouch, he looks at you very seriously, and he tells you, Robert, tell us about giving. What is giving really all about? And you tell them that it's about the heart, and that we give out of love, and that we don't give because we want something, and we don't give out of selfishness and greed. You said that. But then you have to take it. You can't let people believe that, because then you have to take it and then you twist it and you go right back to telling people they're cursed if they don't give their 10%, and really giving their 10% over there to your storehouse, to your campus, is really the secret to unlock God's blessing. You can't just leave it at the truth. They have to swoop right down in on you and manipulate you, because they don't want you to think for yourself. They don't want to give you the opportunity to think that you can open up your wallet and you can take out your checkbook and you can just give to whoever you want to. No, they don't want you to think that. No, because then he can't build 5 campuses or whatever. He's got this huge place over there in Texas. There's thousands of people there, thousands in this cavernous building that he has with these giant screens. Now, personally, I don't like giant screens. I don't see the need for it. It's ridiculous that I was looking at Joseph Prince the other day, and he's got like one screen is bigger than the other. He has these huge screens of himself and back of himself there for people to watch. You know, it's just ridiculous, really. But anyway, I wanted to play a couple clips of Paula White. Now, I was looking at Paula last Sunday, and Paula White, she's a master manipulator, and she needs some new TV cameras, she says. Now, she has television cameras that she used to produce her television program, and the picture looks fine. It looks fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And in order to be on the Word Network and the other networks she's on, you have to have good quality. Now, she has cameras at her $1.5 million house or whatever. Her house is over $1 million. She has cameras there in her house that she uses to produce her television program. So, and then she also has cameras at her church there, New Destiny, in Apopka. Now, why can't she take the cameras out of her house that she uses for her television program and put them in the church, and then she can produce her program there? She tells the people she has to have new cameras, and they're going to cost over $100,000. They have to upgrade their equipment there in the church. So in the first church service, she tells the people she needs this $100,000. And she says, now, come on, now bring up $100,000 and believe God to give you back $1,000. This is what she tells people. Or bring up $1,000 and believe God to give you back $10,000. Really? Wow. Anyway, but she tells people that she needs this money because she has to buy these cameras. Then in the second service, and you'll hear it, she's telling the people the same thing. I need $100,000 to buy these TV cameras here for the church. And really, I already bought the camera, she says. She turns to her slave there, Dougie. She turns to her slave. And she asked Dougie if he already bought the cameras. And Dougie says, yeah, we already ordered the cameras. And she says, well, whether you give or not, we're going to get these cameras. And but she's telling people, I want you to give the money because it's for you that I'm giving you this opportunity to give. Anyway. Let me play this. I see I have a caller, and I'll take this call. After we hear Paula's pathetic plea for new cameras.
Thankfulness has not proven over a week, 2 weeks. It means, okay, I'm going to see if you can be faithful on the mountaintop. I'm going to see if you're going to be faithful in the valley. I'm going to see if you're going to be faithful when you're stricken with sickness in your body. See if you're going to be faithful when you're healthy. I'm going to see if you're faithful when you have a lot of friends. See if you're faithful when Judas turns on you. But see if you're faithful. It's your faithfulness. And one of the things that God always does, I'm just a messenger, guys. God tests you because he says your money is tied to your heart. He said wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. So God will always ask you for extreme sacrifice. He'll always ask you for something financially that you don't want to give up. Because it's not that God needs something. He's testing the faithfulness. Because on the other side of that, God always has more blessing for you than anything that you'd ever give. There's no way you can give more to God than what he'll give to you. But today, we're receiving Vision Sunday offering. We need, I thought it was $75,000. We need $100,000. We're getting all new cameras. It will take us, you go, why? We wanted to put the miracle service up on television. Our quality stinks. These cameras are 12 years old. That's the bottom line. Technology's changed so much. If we would have bought what we're buying today, 12 years ago, it would have been in the millions of dollars. But because technology has progressed so much, we can get 4 Panasonics, we can get everything new, all the wiring, everything for $100,000. I want it by January 1. Because the message must go forth. People are watching on the internet. You can give $10,000. You can give $1,000. Do you know how easy this would be? This would be 100 people giving $1,000. Or this would be 1,000 people giving $100. So I'm going to ask you right now to fill out your card and to bring your vision offering. If you can give $100, if you can give $1,000, you go, why? Because I have to prepare this church to be the voice to to the nations to carry forth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I have to prepare this church. So I can't wait, because trust me, this church will be beyond packed. 6 months from now, you're not going to recognize this church. Just telling you, City of Destiny will be built. Everything will be, God's will be done. Things will be done. Things will be moving in. And I can't wait and go, oh, let's get it together. We prepare now so that the voice, so that we don't have the streaming problems. We don't have the issues. So if you can write $100, do it. But bring it forth, and Pastor Doug's going to come dismiss you. I'm so sorry for going over, but I had to deliver what thus saith the Lord.
Now, you notice, Paula says to sacrifice. She wants you to sacrifice. She wants you to sacrifice, but she's not sacrificing that $1.5 million house that she's living in over there. She's not sacrificing, is she? She's not giving up her luxury to buy her new TV cameras, but she wants some of those poor people over there at New Destiny to give up. She wants them to sacrifice, because she says that your money is tied to your heart, and you know God has to test you. I don't know. I don't see that in the scripture. I don't see that anywhere. I don't see that. I just don't. Anyway, let me see if this caller has a comment. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Do you have a question?
Hello. Well, I don't know. I don't know so much if it's a question as much as a comment. But I mean, whatever you'd like to talk about, it's your show, and therefore creating a power differential, therefore putting me in a very difficult position.
Well, did you call in with a question?
Oh, I mean, I was hoping more to open up a conversation, because I find to just ask one question somewhat boring. But then again, it's up to you what you'd like to do.
Well, it is my program, so you can just hang then and listen.
Oh,
if you don't have a question.
Right.
Oh, well. Okay, then. Let's listen to Paula's second service with where she's telling the people that. Now, remember, she's telling them she has to have this money, and it's really for them that they have to give this money. But then in the second service, she tells people that she's already getting the cameras, so whether they give or not, she's already ordered them.
Mantles that you've never worn before, let the Spirit of God stir up in you everything. Any area that you have been disadvantaged, the Lord changes your position right now, and He advances you. He gives you divine advantage. He steps into your situation right now through divine intervention. And what the enemy has meant for bad, God has already turned for good. I see you to do something you don't have. I'm asking you to stretch yourself and believe. So if you have $100, sow it and believe God for $1,000. We think about this, that's only 100 people giving $1,000. Or you could go, that's 1,000 people giving $100. So that's really doable. Because God said, have it in place, because I have to show. The things that are going to shift very quickly for your destiny. Very quickly, I'm telling you. You already see it. They're going to shift very quickly for this house. And God is about to, like a bamboo, it's underground, it's happening, and then all of a sudden it shoots up. You're 50 feet tall. Things are about to shoot up, like unprecedented. As we enter into this next year, you're going into the fifth year, which is the year of grace. Even though it's a much older church, I consider it 5 years old, because I've been here 4 years, and I've been planted here. And on the fifth year, God told me it would take 5 years. So I'm telling you, things are about to shoot up in an unprecedented way. And there's going to be when I say change, I'm not talking about change by man. There's nothing I can do except for follow God. I was preaching that to you a year ago. There's all kinds of stuff. You're going to be excited, because your life is looking good. You're looking really fat, which means real anointed. You don't need it. That's why the enemy has fought your marriages. He's fought your finances. He's fought you because he never wanted us to get to this place that was already on the prophetic calendar of God. It's unpreventable. It's unpreventable. God's going to have his way. It's going to be done. So I'm telling you that this house must broadcast to the world what God is going to do. So everyone get a vision. You can give.
get there's a green thing there, make a vow, say this is what I'm getting, get your arise and expand. If you can give $100, please come bring it right now. Make your check payable to New Destiny. If you can give $1,000, please do it. But I'm asking you to be a part. What if you're the person? Now, I know some of y'all get upset right now if I even say this. Some of the people that y'all know I'm in association with, I'll never say who all I minister to. Do you want to know how they saw me? How I even had contact? 15 years ago watching Christian television. What if there is a prophetic word that is to go out of this house through your mouth? And on that the Spirit of God gets on you and someone, we used to be the number two show in the Middle East. Number two, we would translate everything in Farsi, secular and everything. God's about to open doors. I'm telling you, these open doors are going to blow your mind. But we couldn't release it because we just decided to be stingy and hold in our hands. Doc, what if the ladies' ministry had never gotten behind me and we didn't, because Randy said, I support you emotionally, but I'm not getting you done. I said, well, can I take the ladies' ministry? Because I ran the ladies' ministry. He said, oh, sure. So I took the ladies' ministry. What if they, the most precious ladies, and we took the Coke vendor's machine, had not given? We didn't ever have enough. But God kept giving enough because he knew that the word had to go forth. Because not just for us. So there's a prophetic word that is coming out of this house that is imperative to nations. And if you don't think nations are tuned in, you're wrong. They're watching right now. There are a lot of heathen watching right now. We love you. There are a lot of journalists watching right now. We love you too. There are a lot of haters watching. We love you too. And there are a lot of saints watching right now. We love you too. We love you all. But it's imperative. So come on up. Be a part of something bigger. Come up and be obedient to what God tells you. You can get behind me. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. Every single person. Thank you for allowing me to go over. I usually go over by 10 to 15 minutes, not this long. But I'm not going to interrupt when God's move accepted. You say, Pastor Paul, I just don't have $100, but I have $10. Bring $10 up. But don't miss it. You go, why? It's imperative that you sow into something that's bigger than you. Every single person right now, when you follow a divine instruction, you reap a divine reward. Every person, every single person, every single person. Why? You're sowing into something bigger than you. If you don't have anything but a quarter, bring up a quarter. Thank you, Mama, for getting up from the middle right there. Thank you. If you have 50 cents, women, it's not for me. Listen, I can write this check. Guys, these cameras are going to be built. They're going to be bought. Doug, am I buying the cameras with or without the people? Can I write the check? Okay. So they're going to be bought no matter what. So my reason for asking is not for me and not for this house. It's for you. My reason for asking is giving you an opportunity to be a part of something that God, they're just going to, Felipe, it's already done. When I put my mind to something and step out on faith, it's already done. Are they already ordered, Doug? Have they already been ordered? Thank you. So these cameras are going to be put in. They're going to be installed. Whether or not you participate, it's not for me. It's for you. Somebody better get up. Everybody stand up. I'm telling you, don't miss your moment. If all you have is a dollar, I'm telling you prophetically, don't miss a moment. If all you have is $1 to bring down, bring your dollar down. If all you have is $10, bring your $10. But don't miss your moment. It's your moment to do it. God has never failed me. God never will fail me. God will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what a master manipulator. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your divine instruction. Now, what is she talking about? Divine instruction. You know what a divine instruction is when you're sitting at home and you're not watching TV and you're not listening to your pastor's sermon. And the Lord speaks to you about something. That's a divine instruction. It's not sitting in church and Paula, Lord Paula, is giving you the divine instruction. That's not a divine instruction. That's called manipulation when somebody's telling you to hear from God that God is talking right now. Well, God wouldn't be talking if you weren't talking. But Paula, you already said that you had the money for the cameras and the cameras were already ordered. So why are you bothering those poor people over there? Bring a dollar, bring a quarter. It's pathetic, really. It's really pathetic. And notice that Paula says, I don't even want to tell you who I'm connected with, who I minister to. She's talking about Donald Trump, that she's the God whisperer, you know, to Donald Trump. That she put that in. She's been on CNN. She's been on Fox News. She's been in all these magazines talking about the fact that she's Donald Trump's spiritual advisor. She's the God whisperer. But she was telling the whole world, but she tells the people there. I don't even have to tell you who I minister to or who I'm associated with. And you know how they saw me. They saw me on television. Well, apparently, you know, when Donald tuned in, he might have tuned in like for 5 minutes and he saw you. But he didn't. I don't think he ever saw you when you were telling people to sow seeds and to give you thousands of dollars, and you were selling anointing oil, and you were selling first fruits offerings, and you were selling Passover offerings, and you have all kinds of scams going on. I don't think Donald was ever watching. Apparently, he didn't watch you all the way through, Paula, because if he did, then I don't think he'd want anything to do with you, especially after you and John got up in the pulpit one Sunday and you handed your husband the microphone and your husband told the women of the church to watch pornography with their husband. I don't think Donald ever saw that program, did he? I don't think he saw that one. Please just stop. Okay. Stop it. I don't know. You know, really these people need to get saved and they need to earn an honest living and they need to just quit lying and manipulating to get what they want. Use your own faith to get what you want. You don't have to tell anybody anything about your financial needs. God knows what you need. He said he knows what you need even before you ask. That's what he said. So God's not a liar. We don't have to get up in front of people and start begging and promising people the world if they give us some money so we can get what we want. No, that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity, no. That's not. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for being with me today. And God bless you all my listeners there in the chat rooms. Thank you for stopping by and my listeners on the phone. Thank you for coming by. And so in the next weeks, I'm going to invite my brother, the Wolf Trucker, back on to talk about his book, Jackass Bishops. And I've also invited Jackie Elnor to come back, and I'm going to have Ron Roby come on. And there was an interesting brother wrote a book called Kleptomaniac, something about tithing. Kleptomaniac, yeah, I'm going to have him on with Ron Roby. We'll have a little program on the subject of tithing. And that's a good title, Kleptomaniac, right? Yes, a lot of those pastors, so-called, are kleptomaniacs. And then I'm going to invite Michaela Kelly to come on and talk to us. Her website, Michaela's Corner, she's got some great articles on there. So we'll have some guests in the next few weeks come on. And if you have any suggestions for me for programs, you can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. And give me your program ideas if you have any recommendations for guests or program ideas. Also for my song, if you have any recommendations for my new song, which I'm going to rewrite it again and make it a church song anyway. But I want to thank everybody for coming by. And remember, the most important thing today is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Also read the book of Romans. The book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. We repent of our sins. We ask him to come in and be our Lord and Savior. And he comes into our life and he gives us a brand new life. That's what being born again is. We go from an old life and we have a new life in Christ. And it's a wonderful life. They usually play that movie this time of year, It's a Wonderful Life. Well, being a Christian is a wonderful life, and thank God that we have a Savior. And we have a God who loves us, and he gives us all things freely for the asking. He gives us eternal life through his Son. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. He's real. Jesus is a real person, and he feels for us, and he loves us. So make that decision today. You won't regret it, I guarantee you. Ask Jesus into your life. He will forgive all your sins and forget them too. That's the wonderful thing. God bless you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Stone crabs are finally back at Bonefish Grill. Our favorite time of the year is here. Fresh off the Florida docks and served the way they were meant to be served. Chilled, cracked, and ready for dipping in our signature house-made mustard sauce. And they pair perfectly with our seasonal handcrafted martinis like our guest favorite, Winter White Cosmo. Hurry into Bonefish Grill for these incredibly fresh treats of the season and get them before they're gone. Because they're only here while supplies last. Come see what's in season at Bonefish Grill.
Carrabba's new Meatball Magnifico is something special, but we can't show it to you on the radio. See, you've got this really gigantic meatball, and it's stuffed with delicious melted mozzarella cheese and served over a bed of sautéed spaghetti, then topped with made-from-scratch Parmesan cream sauce. Carrabba's new mouth-watering Meatball Magnifico is the most dramatic meatball you've ever eaten. And it's only here for a limited time. Carrabba's. This is how you do Italian.